Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. I'm going to say the same thing, aren't I? That it's been very busy. It's been incredibly busy. Now, what shall I talk about? Shall I talk about the earthquake in California? Shall I talk about the bit of eclipse? Shall I talk about the energy wave that's come in? No, I know what I'll do. I'll talk about President Trump's speech. I know that many of us, many of you, were deeply disappointed that the much hoped for announcement, whatever that might have been, perhaps it was JFK Jr., perhaps it was something else, would be mentioned or dropped. And genuinely, there are a lot of people who are very confused as to what's going on here. You know, there was a perfect opportunity for the president to make some announcement, even if it was cryptic or well guarded or hidden. There was that opportunity. Now, I wasn't at all surprised that there was no mention of JFK Jr. I was disappointed that there wasn't some cryptic comment regarding the Federal Reserve Bank. I had hoped for something along those lines. The nearest we got to anything exciting was when President Trump said, and in 1963, and of course I sat up ready for it. I'm sure many of you did, but of course it was the great Martin Luther King. So what I really wanted to say was that, and I did put this on the website earlier today, that with that submarine situation, all bets were off. Whatever President Trump may or may not have had scheduled or slated in to say on his talk, that had to be rewritten. The submarine situation was so grave and the message behind it so strong that whatever, and I genuinely don't know, but whatever he might have been contemplating was not going to happen. And you know, as Becky said to me, does that mean the cabal has won? And I said, no, it means that they've pulled an ace out of the pack and the cards are back in play again. So I wanted to I think talk about that, which, you know, is my take on what's going on, and that obviously leads to the submarine. I did put messages out on my website. I think I've never put so many out in my life. It was of a grave situation. You know, we had the Vice President call back, we had the European Union calling its security chiefs, you had America with its security chiefs, you had Russia calling its chiefs. Even here in Britain, the Prime Minister ordered COBRA. COBRA is the code name for a group of ministers who sit together with their defence chiefs. So that's the ones I know about. So I guess throughout all the major countries in the world, they were huddling down and trying to work out what was going on. So let's have a look at this submarine business. There's an awful lot, as you'd imagine, on the internet. And after I did my initial posts, I just dropped out of it for a day or so, because I thought, let's other people, you know, let's see what they're coming out with. Let them, you know, let them put forward their viewpoint. First of all, it was not an accident. Whatever it was, and we haven't even brought that up yet, but let's just say this accident, whatever it wasn't. Because if you have a genuine accident, you don't have all the major countries in the world scrambling to consult their military. It just doesn't happen. You know, where were the offers of help? If it was a genuine accident, you'd have other countries saying, well, we've got this ship in the vicinity, we've got this, we've got that, would you like us to help? And that generally does happen. That was very obviously not happening there. And talk about in other websites about an American submarine that was being torpedoed. I have had no information on that. Specifically asked, and I've been drawn a blank. What I do know for absolute certainty, there were two Russian submarines, one larger, one smaller. These two always operate together. What makes it important is that the smaller submarine is designed to operate, even from a human point of view, at an incredibly deep depth, absolutely incredible. And although this little submarine is supposed to be operated by an institute within Russia for the advancement of oceanic science, it is in fact a secret intelligence submarine. Its job is to cut cables, but more than that, and I'll come on to that in a second, but its understood role is to cut cables. And you think, what on earth would cables be doing thousands of meters or thousands of yards under the sea, ocean? Simply because it's very hard to hack a cable. Your communications are far more secure sort of 10,000 meters down, 10,000 yards or fathoms, whatever, down in the ocean, than they are sending a radio broadcast. So both America and Russia have these devices, these very relatively small submarines that can go down and cut cables. But it's very interesting that the little submarine also is tasked with collecting weaponry from the ocean bed. That would be probably a torpedo, one of the new advanced, very fast torpedoes. There are torpedoes they have which are, travel at very fast. And when they run out of juice, I guess the torpedo falls to the bottom of the ocean. And the Russians don't want those torpedoes falling into the hands of the Americans. And the other thing is that when a spy satellite either gets shot down or its orbit decays, as oceans cover so much of the Earth, there's a high likelihood that a satellite of any nation would fall into the ocean. And under normal circumstances, it's not recoverable. But with this sort of submarine, you can recover it. And the other exciting thing is alien spacecraft. If something is shot down, falls down, then they have a device to go and have a look. But I said I'd come back to the cable business. It's more than that, because what you can do, and I don't know the technology, but I know it exists, is you can place objects like a box or a cladding over the cable without actually cutting the cable, or at least making some sort of incision into the cable, and so that you can read the messages. Now, it's far more advantageous to be able to read encrypted coding and the other side doesn't know you're reading their messages. A bit like Enigma in the Second World War. The Germans had no idea that the Allies had cracked the code of it. So if you cut a cable, everybody knows that you've been compromised. But if you just sit quietly listening to it, that's far more advantageous. What is exciting is that, or interesting, intriguing, is that this submarine that was damaged contained one non-military person. And the number of captains on board this craft was, I'm not an expert of the Russian Navy, but there were something like 6-7 captains or individuals at captain rank. There were 3 or 4 members of that crew who were incredibly highly decorated. It is not usual to have a small submarine with so many officers on board and so many highly decorated people. Let us assume that the non-military person is either a technical advisor or he's a spy. Let's say that submarine could be listening into communications, or it could be wanting to come under the cover of radar because it's so deep underwater and try and drop this person on the shore somewhere. It's not impossible. So we have a number of points. Had this submarine been struck by a torpedo fired by an American submarine, I can assure you that it would have gone down. It would not have been able to limp back to port. I wouldn't be talking about a fire. I'm far more of the view that there was an attempt to take over the submarine. I think there was a fight on board that submarine, and the official Russian Navy gained control of it. Now, that's what I believe. I believe there was a real attempt to take it over, not by the Americans, but I believe by the cabal. I think that whenever something like that happens, the first thing that's flashed up on the United States defense system is, we have a nuclear submarine that's gone out of control. The first questions are, does it have nuclear missiles? Maybe that's a no. Okay, does it have nuclear-tipped torpedoes? So that might be a no. So then the next question is, okay, could it have a nuclear bomb placed in that submarine? And this is either a suicide mission or a remote control to set off a nuclear charge at some incredible depth of the ocean to create a tsunami and swamp the eastern seaboard. That is why there was an emergency, not because there was a fire broke out in the battery compartment of a nuclear-powered submarine, but because American intelligence believed that somebody other than the official owner, i.e. the Russian Navy, had for a short period of time, or potentially had gained control of a nuclear-powered submarine. That's what this is all about. Now, if we assume that that wasn't your next-door neighbor and his dog trying to take over the submarine, if we assume this was a very skilled, very well-financed operation that for whatever reason didn't work, that is sending a very huge message. And the fact it was just a few hours before Independence Day, July the 4th, is no coincidence at all. So coming back to the beginning part, I'm not at all surprised that what we saw on Independence Day was exactly what we were perhaps expecting. Very Independence Day speech. I was a little bit miffed because President Trump really didn't like the British back in 1776, made it very clear, and it would have been nice if the President said, oh, but by the way, we are friendly with the British now. The fact that he didn't make any reference to anything like that shows me how he feels America is very much going it alone at the moment. And we cannot afford America to become isolated politically as it was before the Second World War. I thought other things were interesting. For those of you who had a chance to watch it, the Vice President was not behind 3 inches of bulletproof glass, only the President. The Vice President moved around on the center stage and off it onto the area with some of the guests, but at many times he was not protected by the glass. And the only time that I saw the President wasn't was when he was brought in from the side. And I think again that tells us a great deal about who is seen as the mover and shaker of this. You know, if you take out the President, a bit like Kennedy, if you killed Kennedy, then it didn't matter who was going to take over because nobody could be of that man's caliber. So I thought that was very interesting. So that's the submarine situation and President Trump's speech. I want to talk about the eclipse, this small eclipse we've had. I want you to see it, please, in conjunction with the huge energy wave that we've experienced. People are talking about the magnetic Earth shield collapsing. This is not the right way to look at it, I don't believe. I think that the frequency of this wave didn't collapse the wave, it displaced it. And there's a big difference. This energy wave is part of a very important evolutionary kickstart. It's part of bathing the Earth with that. And don't worry if you were working in your basement, you're going to still get the benefits of that because these waves go through concrete. So this was not something that was harmful. And the fact that it was at the correct frequency to move apart the Earth's natural magnetic shield and then bathe the Earth, and then the magnetic shield came back again, tells us quite a lot. So that's a very important part. Many people, and I included, I think will have had headaches. I had a terrible headache over the weekend, and that is part of this energy field where your energy body moves up a notch and your physical body is lagging behind, and there's a slight disconnect between the two, and it takes a while to come through. So that's very exciting. You know, the astronomers look at these things and they take photographs and they log it, and it's just like to them collecting a butterfly or a stuffed bird or something, and they've done it. They don't really understand what it's about. To them it's a phenomena, it's given a code number and filed away. This is part of humanity's evolution, and it's incredibly exciting. Let's move on to the earthquake, 6.4, and I think I put a message out saying genuinely I was really surprised at the lack of the loss of life. 6.4 is reasonably high. Again, the point is it was perhaps away from the urban areas, the built-up areas, but nevertheless, there's been physical damage. My concern was the aftershocks, and you know, we are going to see more. I'm not the only person to have talked about potential earthquakes in the last few months for that area. I'm just very pleased that, you know, it happened in such a way, in such a place, that it didn't cause too much loss of life. So we've been quite busy with everything. It seems every day something new comes in, and it's not all positive, I'm afraid. You know, the submarine situation is definitely not a positive thing, and it's made us have to rethink and rework. And what I'm going on to say before I do the questions, I've been talking to a number of people from the intelligence services, or the intelligence community, perhaps might be a better way of putting at it, but I'm going to call them field men and field women. And they are all absolutely adamant that President Trump will be re-elected in 2020. And I'm not so sure, because unless and if President Trump can bring something substantial to the people before Election Day, I think he's got a hell of a hard climb to be re-elected. Those of you who saw the televised version of the special day, I counted, I watched NBC News, and I watched it for an hour and a half. I didn't watch the fireworks, so I just watched for the speech. In 1.5 hours, the camera only turned to look at the crowds twice, and only for a very short time. Now, had that been President Obama doing that, the cameras would have continually looked at all the people. There would have been a great report about how many people have turned up, they've braved the bad weather. Look at all these people having a great time. Now, what happened was the commentator, the NBC commentator, was like us. She was watching a TV roll, and the cameras were just showing maybe about 300 people right up close. These are family members or people who've worked for the Trump campaign, so they were the close ones up, fair enough. And that was like that. And then for some reason, this rather negative television company decided to turn the cameras around just for about 2 seconds, and there were hundreds of thousands of people. I mean, I've never been to the Mall. I have no idea, but it was packed, absolutely packed. And the commentator, who had only watched what we had watched, which was about 300 people, and she assumed that was it. That was what had braved the rain. And if you can ever watch it again, she goes, "Oh wow." And then she composes herself. And this is what these media companies are doing. They're trying to downplay it. And as soon as that had finished, the woman comes on with a microphone and says, "Look how much this has cost. There's all this concern about tanks, all this concern about airplanes. Who's paying for all this?" Had that been Obama, there wouldn't have been a single question about how much it cost or the tanks. And so what I'm saying, and I am speaking directly to President Trump now, and unless you get a handle on the media, unless you can get a control of it, they will fight very hard to thwart a re-election success. And looking at the way they actually covered your speech, your address to the nation, you can't afford to let them do that. Okay, so that's my bit to the president there. So unless something big happens, whether that's an indictment, whether it's, you know, something important, you know, every Trump rally, you hear the people shouting, "Lock her up, lock her up." Well, if she doesn't get locked up, that again is going to be another very difficult mountain to overcome. So something big has got to happen, because the president cannot rely on the rural states to support him. You've got all the urbanites, as we would say in Britain, the very more liberal people living in the big cities in many parts of America, who will vote Democrat, not because they are supporters of the Democratic Party, but because they are convinced by the media that President Trump is a bad man. So my point is, my answer or my point, I think, to the intelligence services of the United States is that you're making a very big mistake if you think President Trump is going to be re-elected unless something public takes place between now and, you know, a few weeks before the election. Right, that's it. That's me done. It's been that busy. It's been incredible. Thank you, Becky, for being so patient. Let's have the first few questions, please.
Okay, you're welcome. Right, the first question is from Debs, who says, Simon and Becky, thank you for all that you are and thank you for all that you do. Please, can you share with us your vision of connecting consciousness? Love and light, Debs.
The vision that I had hasn't changed. And obviously I'll answer the question, but I wanted to say to you, it hasn't changed. But the way I put it into action had to be gradual. And of course, people who are supportive of President Trump will say, yes, but that's what he's doing. He's not doing it all in one go. You're only doing what President Trump's doing. You're doing it in little bits. Because when you start from basically zero or nearly zero, you can't just go with a concept from 0 to 60 and expect everyone to buy into it. Other people tried that and it fell flat on their faces. Not because they were bad people or incapable, but because they did not judge the level of opposition against them. So I did do it in gradual stages, but the vision has never changed. And the vision from, first of all, a local level was that I wanted in every country or in America, every state, a group of people who had similar experiences, who thought that service to others was much more important than service to self, who maybe had seen UFOs, who had alien experiences or abductions, or had a family member who had had some contact with the secret intelligence services or secret organizations, and they knew the truth. I wanted a place where these people could talk securely in a supportive way without others laughing at them. You know, I went through a difficult time from a human perspective because I went to the media and said, this is what I've experienced. Yeah, I wasn't naive. I wasn't crushed or shocked by their response, as indeed most people are, because most people go on who are genuine, they have a story, they go to the media and say, listen, I've got to share this story with you. It's true, I've got to tell you. And then they're absolutely heartily destroyed when the media calls them crazy or liars or Walter Mitty or you know, totally insane or just out to get publicity. And these people who've come forward throughout the decades with a very genuine story have found that the establishment publicly has tried to ridicule them and privately has actually tried to engage with them. Now that's really important. That publicly, people who are genuine with their experiences of aliens are ridiculed. But when no one's looking, in many cases, the same organizations that's ridiculing wants to come in through the back door and say, listen, can we just ask you a few questions, please? We're quite interested. You know, you can't have it both ways, guys. You really can't. And so I wanted to set up groups of people who could support each other in times of emergency, whatever that might be, and if no emergency, then they could just meet at some point regularly, either online or face to face, and just support each other. Spiritual people who had an interest in organic growing of foods, people who understood that healing wasn't just about taking a tablet out of a bottle, people who understood that most of the system around us is not designed to support us, but is designed to control us. People who could act because they have concerns about 5G, or they have concerns about hormones in food or vaccinations. You know, that's what connecting consciousness was. Now that was phase one, which, you know, thanks to a number of people, is now set up and is running, varying degrees of success. Some countries there are just a few handful of members, in other places there are hundreds. And that's just the way it was going to be. But what I want to do for the second phase is I wanted to show the world that there is a different way of valuing people. There's a different way of doing things. You know, at the moment, we are all shown that there's only one game in town, and you either play that game or you get out and you're not part of it. And so you're forced to choose. Now, the days of being able to climb up a mountain and hide in a cave, they're long gone. You can't do that anymore. You know, those days are, if they ever existed, they're not there. So we are forced to engage. And so what most of us do is what I call the dented shield. You know, we protect ourselves. It takes a lot of battering, but at least we can protect ourselves to a certain extent. And what I want to do is to create a model. And that's what I'd like to do, to be in a position to be able to project that influence, those ideas. Because the way that a connecting consciousness group works is the value for a country to work, for a government to work, for a school to work, for a police station to work, for a hospital to work. Every organization I've just mentioned, whatever they may tell you, is not about you or me, it's about them. So you go into a police station, you want to file a report, you've lost your wallet. Let's have something as simple as that. What they'll do is they'll just reach for the form, the book, they'll fill it in, and they'll ask you the questions. And they're not really interested about you. What they're interested in is the details for that. Now, that's an object that we can deal with. But if it's, say, you've got a kid dying of some disease and you go to the hospital, is that hospital, the procedures, really designed for you and the family? Or is it designed to work in the benefit for that organization? When you go to college or school or university, is it really about educating you? Or is it about you actually being part of that system and for the system to be able to do what it wants? And connecting consciousness is about returning power to the people. It's about saying to the individuals, you know, organizations naturally aren't there to support you, they're there to create and support themselves. So my vision is to actually begin to influence those people who make the laws, make the rules, and to grow such a large number of people. I want millions of people to join Connecting Consciousness, and through their large numbers make change. If 50 people stood outside a gas station on Monday and said, we think that, you know, anybody who works in a hospital should have a reduced price on their fuel so they can get to work, there would be a hoo-ha, the media would turn up, nothing would happen. But if that group of 50 then became 100 and they went back on the next Monday and the next Monday and the next Monday, that petrol station would, or that fuel station, gas station would back down and they'd give in. And what the organizations count on is that people do not operate as a group. They pick us off individually. That's what we've been taught about. We've been taught to operate service for self and be independent. The reality is that being independent has got nothing to do with being service to self. You can be service to others, but still be independent within that. And so I would like to see, in a peaceful way, people beginning to put pressure where there's an injustice. I mean, why is it wrong to challenge injustice? It never is. So I can do more, but I don't want to give the plan away to the bad guys. Thank you. That's a great question, Debs. Thank you.
Okay. The next question is from Lynn, who says, "Hi, Simon. Thanks for all you do. How strange to be so important to people for dealing with what we were told didn't exist. You have created a very unusual job as teacher and rescuer. My question is this. If you know a relative is controlled by a grey, but they won't get rid of it, how do you protect yourself, your house, and your family going forwards? Are there any signs the family might be able to recognise so they can believe it?
Right.
And are there any things they might say to cause some slippage in control?"
That's fantastic. I can't cope with all those questions. Okay. They all need to be answered. First of all, I can remember the first one. I came forward 10 years ago now, something like that, with my story. Just as I said before, I had to tell the truth. I had a story, and I had to decide whether I would just sit on it and just, you know, pretend it didn't happen, or whether I went public with it. And I knew that the established media would just turn on me, as indeed they did. But I had to do it, because there are people out there who are genuine people, ordinary people, who are being lied to and tricked, and they're so kind. See, the vast majority of humanity is really kind. They're so kind and believing. They couldn't believe that people in power could be so nasty. And of course they can be. And so I was determined to bring this message across and, you know, try and do my bit, as many others are doing their bit, because I wasn't prepared to sit back any longer and just see this injustice take place. So that's why I did it. And I'm really glad to be helping people. And if that's why I do it, and that's why I put myself through this, because I have to, I've got no choice. What else would I do? Right, so that was the first one. What's the second one, about someone being taken over by a grey, wasn't it?
If you know a relative is controlled by a grey, but they won't get rid of it, how do you protect yourself, your house and your family going forwards?
Okay. So the question is, but they won't get rid of it. There's two possibilities here. One is they choose not to get rid of it, or they can't get rid of it. You're talking to me about a grey taking over a person. We've only got one culprit. That's an Orion grey. It is the greys from Orion that are particularly nasty at doing this. What's the third question, please?
How can you protect yourself?
Yeah, but there was other... I'll come back. I think that's the core question.
Okay, are there any signs the family might be able to recognise
so they believe it? Right. The answer is no, because if you have unawake and unaware people, and someone's doing something, they'll either put it down as being psychotic or schizophrenic or this, that and the other. The only way they'll believe it is if a little grey alien pops up and hits them on the head with a hammer. And even then they'll probably convince themselves that it was Father Christmas. So don't waste your time on that. You cannot be responsible for other people. Now what we can do is we can identify that it is indeed an alien grey. What we would identify is how it's controlling and manipulating the person. And to do that, we have to meet the person. We have to understand why the grey has got such an interest, how it's attached itself, and what it's gaining out of it. So all these questions have to be answered before I could do anything about it. The Orion greys are some of the most insidious and most difficult. And these are very similar to the little creatures that crashed in 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico. There, this Orion connection, which of course is a connection with the Great Pyramid. Remember Orion's Belt, and if you look at Google Earth and you look at the pyramids, they are laid out, those three pyramids, just like Orion's Belt, which tells us everything we need to know, that Orion was in the ascendancy at the time of the building of the pyramids, while Sirius, or as I would pronounce it, Cyrus, whilst it was a key player in the building of the pyramids, wasn't in charge. So the answer to your question is, I'm going to have to talk to you, but I'm going to have to talk to the person who's been afflicted, because they are the subject of the issue. So what I'd like you to do is, I'd like you to, I think we've got your email. I think what we'll do is we'll email you, and we'll just see how likely it is that that individual would be willing to have a chat with me. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Next question. Sorry, I'm just having
It's all right, take your time, because I know you've got several that have come in on there. But if, you know, come in at the last minute, as it were. So, well, while Becky's finding that question, I mean, I don't go through the questions beforehand, but there's been one question today which Becky did give me a shout on, and said, you know, what do you make of this? Do you want to do this one? Because normally I just say blanket, whatever comes in, I'll answer it, unless it's obscene or rude or just ridiculously nasty, you know. But any serious question I will answer. But there's one coming up at some point which Becky did actually say to me, let me read it out to you, because it's really strange. But normally I don't. But is this the one we're going to come to?
Not yet, no.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so this is one, it's not really a question, but I'll just read it out.
Okay.
Hi Simon, we are big fans of yours, your good work and your many shows. Just emailing you to let you know I have written a song for you, Simon. It's on my YouTube channel. Please search.
Wow.
Stephen Hatton. Stephen Hanlon songs. It's called Simon's Song.
Oh, right.
Anyway,
okay.
Namaste, your fan from Liverpool.
Oh.
By the way, just before recording the song, I meditated to make the song a success, and lo and behold, your white cat appeared in the meditation.
Wow.
It was so beautiful, mesmerizing, I couldn't take my third eye off it.
Right.
So, there you go.
so that's the point about connecting consciousness, that somebody's written some music, but then did some meditation to work with it. Now, that's the difference. Someone who's a member of connecting consciousness understands the capabilities and the power of actually using the energy within you and your mind to create the right environment or the right space, so that anything you do has got a better chance of doing what you want it to do. And I'm deeply honoured that you've written a song. I mean, I think I should listen to the song first before I say I'm deeply honoured, because I don't know what the song's about. I'm sure it's fine. Thank you so much. You know, that's really kind of you. Thank you. Okay, next question.
Okay, please. Thanks. This one is from Cindy, who says, "Dear Simon and Becky, thank you for all that you do for us. I have an appointment with you coming up, still a way off, and have been a targeted individual. Are there any measures I can take, besides psychic protection, to protect my body, home, accounts, computer, phone?
Okay.
I know you understand this, and I really look forward to our session and hope to get to talk to you. Also, I noticed your topics tab is no longer available, and I was starting to read the info, and it was so helpful. Much gratitude, Cindy."
Okay, there's lots of changes that we're doing to the website and the website and the database. Right, when a person is a TI, targeted individual, there are a whole host of types of interference that's used. Everything from a mechanical weapon to a psychic weapon from a living being, which may or may not be human, to gang stalking, to a whole absolute range of stuff. The answer is, why are they doing it? What is the threat that individual poses? And then when I understand what it is that person has done or potentially could do in the future that has organized this attack against them, then I will become aware of who is behind the attack. And then when I've understood the history of it and who's behind it, then we can work out methods of defense. But as I haven't got any of that at the moment, I can't. If you're in real difficulty and your appointment is a long way away, then you're going to have to just drop another line in, I'm afraid. And we are really behind with our emails. We struggle. We get 200 a day, and there's just very few people helping. We've got some volunteers, but we do get through them. We do get to them, but not quickly enough. And I would be the very first person to stand up and say, you know, we don't get to them quickly enough, but what can I do about it? I'm not a call center. I don't have 50 people all queuing up on the phones to receive these calls that people are making. And, you know, that's because I'm not pharmaceutical. It's because I'm not part of the government. You know, if it was something like that, hey, we'd be hugely funded. We'd be absolutely covered with adverts. We'd have T-shirts with our names on it. We'd be the absolute epitome of what we don't like. And unfortunately, that's not what we are. We're just a small little group of people who desperately care and are struggling at the moment to try to deliver a reasonable service. But if you want to email, explain a bit more detail, then I can probably email you back with some immediate tips to help you, and then you just have to wait until we've got our scheduled session. And before we move on to the next question, I have something like 20% of people who book a session with me don't turn up. 20%. Now, in some cases it's incredibly genuine, but in most cases it's like I forgot the time zone, or hey, I was still in bed, or I completely forgot, or this, that, and the other. And you know, there are people out there that absolutely need these sessions. And for everybody who doesn't make that appointment without a very, very good reason, it's not fair on those who, like this person, is a targeted individual, who really need that session. Because if you really need it, you're going to be there. You'll be there. You know, sometimes there are issues. You know, the internet, something on my side, the internet goes down. You know, and of course then we rebook at no charge, and these things do happen. But you know, to get people that cancel and then the next day just send me an email and say, oh yeah, sorry, I missed that. You know, that's not on. That's not. You know, this isn't a doctor's practice. You know, where you can just do that. So please be mindful that you have a slot. Please use your slot. Thank you, Becky. Next question.
Okay, this is from Giselle, who says, hello, Simon and Becky. Last February, my husband and I woke up paralysed in the middle of the night. I saw an Aboriginal-looking man enter the room. My husband saw two strong women dressed in military clothes walking in, going towards me. I want to know what you think they possibly want with us. I have never spoken in public about my ET contacts and experiences. How do they get in the house without my dogs attacking them? And how do they know I'm being contacted in the first place? Thanks so much for all you do. You're a true light warrior.
Thank you. Very kind of you. The question is not why did your dogs not see them. It's interesting that in one of the stories, I think the story was called Silver Blaze, Sherlock Holmes, and it was the curious case of the dog that did not bark in the night. And now you're going to have to go and look up Sherlock Holmes and the story of Silver Blaze and the curious case of why the dog didn't bark in the night. That's not important. And what's important is, was this male entity standing between the two females? Was the male entity?
She saw the male entity, and her husband saw the two female military people. So she saw an Aboriginal male.
I know,
and the husband saw the two females.
I know. But the question is, was the male standing between the two females? Were the female standing to the left? Were the female standing to the right? These are the questions that I would ask, because that tells me what I need to know. We also have to be careful when we talk about Aboriginals. There are some alien races that look very North American Indian, which can be confused with Aboriginals. Aboriginal, assume you're referring to someone from Australia or one of those groups, Inuit groups. But there are a number of different alien groups that could be confused, and there is an even a feline group that has a very sort of North American Indian type face. So that's the first point. I'd also need to know what they were wearing, how they were. The females wearing uniforms, more than likely humans, more than likely either directly working for a military secret government here on Earth, or a franchise or an agency that's working at arm's length for the human government. But I again would need to know the uniforms. I would need to ask lots more questions. And then I would need to ask you about your past. I would need to look at the soul to check your frequency to understand it. What's exciting, of course, is that you both woke up. Now, normally what happens is one person in the group wakes up and one person doesn't. And that person then cannot wake the other one up. If you both woke up, either you both are very resilient and you overcame the mind control to try to freeze you down, or you're both the subject of this interaction. I believe you're both the subject, because one partner is seeing one group of aliens or ETs and the other partner is seeing another one. So that's telling me that there's double abduction going on, but the agenda or the remit here is different between the two of you. It's a fascinating case. You need to book. Thank you.
Okay, this one is from Kimberly, who says, hi Simon, this isn't really a question but more of a statement to tell you how much I appreciate your podcast, your interviews, your website and your help with the world. Thank you for your service to mankind. May you stay safe and healthy and happy all the days of your life here on planet Earth.
what a really lovely thing. Thank you. I intend to, and that's not meant arrogantly, because I've got to keep going. You know, I said it earlier, what else can I do? I clean windows, I suppose, or clean motor cars. And if I had to buy food, I would. Couldn't have my cats going without any food, couldn't go without food myself. So we would all do what we had to do to survive. But this is what I do because I have an insight which many people don't have, and I'm determined to keep that going, and I've got to stay on the earth as long as I can to do it. And one person, I don't know if this question's coming, was, is there a clone question coming up?
I don't know.
Oh, well, okay. Well, then somebody asked me once at a conference, am I a clone? I thought he said, am I a clown? I could have done a little dance. But he was asking me, am I a clone? And I said, well, would, I was a bit rude, really. I said, well, would you actually know? How would you know whether I was a clone or not? Would I tell you the truth? The answer is that no, I'm not a clone. And when I died in 1969, 10 years old, and I talked about that and then did the x-ray and found that my spine had been broken, I was returned back, and they considered, from what I, the limited amount of communication that I have, that it was advantageous to return me, to repair the damage and return me, rather than use a clone, because apparently, and I'm not an expert, apparently when you use a clone, the frequency of the connection between that person and the earth and the person, that cloned body and other, is much weaker. It's slightly off, and that individual can't do and can't be successful in the same way. So where at all possible, they would use or try and keep the original body, because that is the body connected to the earth, and that is the creational energy and frequency. And so no, the answer is no, I'm not, but I bet you there are some clones of me, because if the bad guys did somehow manage to do something, I can't afford to go up there, be zapped and come back down again and be in a baby and wait goodness knows how many years to get back here. I can't afford to do that, unless I was sort of able to reincarnate and do a walk-in with somebody. So I understand from the alien perspective that there are clones standing by if anything really bad happened to me. They didn't want me off the scene for very long. So no, the guy talking to you at the moment is not a clone. I am really me, and long may I always be me. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Damien says, hi Simon, I've noticed in the mirror several times that one of my pupils were cat-shaped or lizard-shaped for a brief period of time. Also, my daughter told me she saw my eye change shape sometimes and described what I saw in the mirror. I actually have a picture of myself while this is happening. Should I be alarmed, and what could this mean for me? Thank you, Damien.
Was your daughter alarmed? No, you don't be alarmed. It's perfectly normal. When a person has a certain percentage of a particular alien group within them, they are able to temporarily change certain aspects. And the most common is the eye, simply because the eye is like a screen, and it's good for bouncing energy off. And so it is possible to create an image change to the eye. In the easiest way to understand it, at the low level, the eye doesn't change at all. It's simply a projection that's placed on top. At the next level up, the eye really does change. But that doesn't mean that you're a great hulking, stalking, evil reptilian. It means that you're an ordinary guy who's got a percentage of reptilian, that from time to time this happens. And even if you were a 100% reptilian, that's not of any consequence. What is of consequence is whether you decided that service to self was actually not on the table today, and it was service to others that was important. So if you are a spiritual person, and that doesn't mean you just burn a joss stick, a couple of candles and hit some Tibetan bells, if you're really spiritual, then don't worry about it. It's not a concern. It's actually quite an exciting party trick. Don't do it out in town, because you'll have everybody screaming and running. You need to reassure those around you who've seen that not to be concerned, that it is normal, and that it's not a life and death situation. But when my diary opens, which would probably be in August or September, I suggest that you could book, and then I can talk you through what is happening to you, why it's happening to you, and how to manage the reaction of the people around you. I hope that's helpful. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Julie says, "Hi Simon, I'm a long-time follower of yours. My question is related to family and generational curses. I have heard that my grandfather placed or paid someone to curse my mother. It was placed over my entire family. It was thought that an object which was buried in my childhood property, but my parents never found it. When he passed, he appeared to my mother trying to apologize. And now my mum is dying. Mm-hmm. I feel it's not her time to go, but some force is working to this effect. We did a little rescind ceremony, but I'm not sure it worked. Please help. I feel this is affecting us in a very deep level. My father died, now my mum is.
Right.
And I feel at the end of my life too."
All right, okay. Well,
and, at the end of my will too.
Okay, so basically, I'm not going to make you wait till September. Becky will email you, and although I don't have any slots, if you can be flexible, we do get, as I told you, get lots of people who cancel at the last minute. If you can be flexible and we get a cancellation and someone has the courtesy to at least tell me they're cancelling, I'll put you in and I'll do what I can to help you. So Becky's got your email, she'll write to you, we'll need your Skype address, etc., etc. And we'll get a cancellation, then we'll try and get you in on that one. I don't really like the idea of, you know, making you wait and then, you know, for whatever reason you're not around to do it. Curses are quite common. We don't just assume them to be from Saudi Arabia or Turkey or India. They are actually very powerful within the voodoo groups. They can be connected to items. Items can be buried in the periphery of the ground. They can be portal gates. They can either open or close, or they can contain something. It is very difficult to break a curse that has been placed within an object if we don't have the object, but we can remote view back to that object and we can do stuff with that. So don't give up hope, and we'll see if we can do something for you. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
What about this exciting one that I've told everyone about?
Oh, it's just, I've literally just come up to it now, where somebody has written lots of different posts, and not questions, they're posts. So I've come to the first one now.
It's not the first one, was it? It was the second one you read to me, which I thought that was interesting. Well, you can do the first one.
I can do the first. Okay.
Go on then.
Hi, Simon. Oh, this is from Harmony. Hi, Simon. That which was covertly operating under cover of darkness is now overtly centre stage under a floodlight. The children of the ancients have been responsible for kicking the mistakes of their fathers into the faded memory category as their parents guide them along the same path and led them into the maw of malevolence so long ago. It's far more preferable to feel discomfort upon the realization that a choice to attempt to work alongside the debauched, but to keep it out of your own life was not a choice, and that this mistake made by the fathers and the mistake is being carefully exposed and undone by the children of the ancients. And then, by the way, what spaceship? Question mark.
Right, okay, so what we're looking at is not the Akashic. What we're looking at here is a person who's, in broad terms, is channeling. The person is it's not AI, but it's if I say hive mind, it's going to give you the wrong connotations. This is actually good stuff. Although, please, you seem to have written about 10,000 posts, and you know, we just can't go through it all.
Not quite that many, but there's a few mixed amongst others.
It seems 10,000 to me. Mm. What you're writing is accurate. You already know the answers, and all I can say is that there are changes occurring on the earth where those who were tasked with running the earth have failed, and their concept has not worked, and those who are coming up now, and that's everyone who's listening to this show, hopefully of good heart, are seeking to make changes, and those who were put in a position of responsibility and have failed are having to account for their failure. So the way, the style in which you write is that of a channeling entity from a higher dimension who is used to computers. It's not unlike Q, actually. I've read what you've written. Thank you very much indeed. I don't have a comment on it really, apart from, yeah, it's accurate what you're saying to me.
So you don't want me to read any more now?
No, because...
I'll have to flip past them all.
It doesn't actually help us, because it's at a higher level in terms of the battle that's taking place and the history of humanity and the way that people are being judged at the moment.
Okay.
Okay.
Just got quite a few.
That's fine. I know.
Just get past them.
That's fine. Take
okay,
your time.
Okay, so this I one's know. New. Okay. From Emily. Can you tell me more about the mantis beings? I believe I had a visitation a couple of years ago and feel a connection. This being came in through my third eye and was absolutely gorgeous, very, very feminine and soft. I felt very at peace with her, and now I refer to her as my Lady M, Lady Mantis. I was doing a meditation out in the Point Reyes National Seashore, and years ago, maybe 2006 or 2007, I was getting out of my car and I was covered in praying mantis, maybe up to 15.
Oh,
I always thought if praying mantis were around, that meant you were in a good ecological area. I'm hoping to head back there before the year is out and make that my new home.
Well, fine. The only thing I would give you is that it might not be a female. Remember, I referred to the mantid or mantis being as mum, because that's what it said, but it was a male. There are countless reports of children who've had these encounters, or in a few cases, adults, and they refer to it as a female, but it isn't really, it's masquerading as a female. But it doesn't mean that there aren't females, but it is a patriarchal society, and I would be surprised if it was a real, genuine female. It's not impossible, but it's doubtful. Can I just leave it like that? There are many different groups, you know, and I can't speculate. I don't know. You'd have to describe it to me. There are several. There are some small ones that are about 5 foot tall, maybe around 5 foot, right up to incredibly tall things. And they're not all part of the same faction. They're part of a wider interconnected group, but they're not all part of the same faction. Mantis or mantids will work quite determinedly with children. The major groups that work with kids are greys and mantis. That's the major off-planet groupings that will engage with children. The reason for that is that the little creatures, the greys, are less frightening because they're small. And the reason that, and there's more of them, there's just an army of these little creatures, so they're available, you know, like yellow cabs, so there's always one on a corner somewhere. The mantid or mantis work with children at a higher level because they are the brain surgeons. They will go in to do whatever they want to do, and the likelihood of success is far higher with a mantid or mantis than it is with a grey. In other words, the energy work that one of the higher beings does is much more likely to be successful than, say, a grey. Okay, but without more information, they can't help you. So please, when the book's open August time, please book, and then you can give me as much information as you can, and I will do everything I can to give you some insight and help you.
Okay, thanks. Ian says, Simon, you probably have a lot more knowledge on my status than I do. I don't know which direction to choose. Here is my question. Will you describe Anu? Not that you haven't had him illustrated before, but what was he like? I carried on for years believing it was just a dream, and though you may not believe me, I have been in the presence of your dad. I'm disabled and I'd like to have a session with you. I understand there'll be a whole world watching, but I have some questions to ask. mostly about who I am and where I have been. This disability keeps me unable to pay. If we could talk, I might learn a thing or two about what I am.
Well, why would I not believe you? I mean, what sort of a person would I be if I said, I don't believe you, but I expect you to believe me? So that's not me. If you're telling me that, I believe you. Right, so you're asking me not what did he look like, but what was he like as a being. Unfortunately, I've only got human words, and most of this human language doesn't cover something that isn't from the earth. I mean, isn't from the earth. But I've got to try and use human words to put across to you in some shape or form what he's like. So it won't come out in any order, because you can't order something like this. So first of all, incredibly stern, unyielding, unbending, unforgiving, hugely insightful, incredibly telepathic and psychic, probably one of the greatest psychics within his own grouping. At any pinch, as I've said this before, any pinch, a reptilian, even one of the guards, the soldier warriors, they know what you're thinking at the moment you think it yourself. It's almost before you do. I mean, that's not the case. You will think it first. But their ability to pick it up is to the extent that, you know, how do you shield yourself? And without going off topic too much, when Adolf Hitler was working with that very horrible evil man, Dr. Mengele, one of the side shoots of all these horrendous experiments was, how can I produce soldiers, SS soldiers, German soldiers, that can't have their mind read? And that's at the level that they were working at, you know. That's one of the many reasons that the American government snapped up these German scientists, because they were well aware of alien spacecraft before Roswell. Well before Roswell. And here was a program trying to create early versions of super soldiers. Remember, a super soldier isn't just someone with latex pumped into their bones so they bounce off the ground when they jump out of a sixth story building. It's about mind control and the ability not to give information away. So when you're in the presence of something like that, it's very difficult to not give anything away. The problem is that I can only answer your question from my perspective, and it's not a trick question, it's not a trick point, because you would say, well, obviously, Simon, you can only answer it from your perspective, but that's not my point. My point is that the role that I had, the status that I had, meant that this creature would respond to me in relation to that. Now, if there was somebody next to me, of course they would be different, and so he would respond differently to that person. You'd have 20 people all lined up, and he would respond differently to 20 people. He wouldn't be the same with all of them. So my response about how I had to behave, or how I felt, or how I thought he was, would be completely different from somebody 10 down the line who had a completely different role or responsibility or relationship with him. You know, I can only tell you what I can remember. I don't remember everything, but I do remember he wasn't in a craft. In one particular session, I was a kid. He wasn't in the craft. He was in an underground facility. It was baking hot. It was absolutely boiling hot. And I know that it created its own reality, its own world, so that it could survive. And I was with some sort of grey alien that was, I was a kid, about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years old, and this grey has got me by the hand and is walking me and leading me along. And it's underground, there are rough hewn rocks. And then this little grey says, do you know who that is? And points to being that I would call Anu. And this is at about 20 feet distance, and I said, I can't remember if I said yes or yes, of course. I think it was along the lines of, well, obviously, of course, I know who it is. And then this little grey creature, which wasn't a typical Hollywood style grey, didn't have the great big wraparound eyes. The eyes were much smaller. They were still almond shaped. They weren't like greys from Phobos, though the greys from Phobos had small round eyes. But these were smaller almond eyes. Then it just literally prostrated itself at the feet of this being that we would call Anna. It just literally spread eagle itself. You know, you guys in America, you have the felony position, don't you? We don't have that in Great Britain. But that's exactly what this little grey creature did. And I remember looking at it and thinking, well, I don't have to do that. And walking up to the creature. But I know that when I walked up to the creature, this Anu guy, I had to be really careful about what I thought, how I acted, what I did, and it was all about like a game of poker. So this being would ask me a question, and then I have to think very carefully about how I would answer it, because I could offend it with my answer. I had to not put myself in not in danger, but I couldn't get caught into a contract. I didn't want to get tricked. It was always looking to get me to join him, join the great, you know, Draconis Empire, and this, that, and the other. And the offers that he made were incredible, absolutely incredible. But I was had enough about me to know that these were contracts that he was offering, and I had to be like one of those really, I can't ice skate for toffee, as we say in Britain, but I had to be like a really skilled ice skater and ice skate round him, you know, proverbially speaking, so that I didn't say no, because that would have angered him, but I didn't say yes, because that would have opened up a whole load of problems for me. So I had to sort of skate around it. And for instance, don't go too long on it, because I expect you don't want to hear too much about it, but for instance, this being that we would call Anu said to me, don't you want to, I'll try and do this word for word, don't you want to go from planet to planet, star system to star system, bringing truth where there are lies, order where there is disorder, justice where there is, can't remember. Now, his version of justice, or his version of truth, of course, is not our version. And I said, no, I don't want to do that. Because that's what the Draconis do. They just travel from one star system to another, and they just take it over. That's what how they space hop. And he said, you know, don't you want to do that? And I said, no, I don't. And he said to me, quite, they don't have emotions, but they do. Emotion is a human word that is just a word for an energy. The trouble with us humans is that we just give words to things, but we don't actually understand. It's just a different frequency, a different form or shape of the frequency wave. So he said to me, why don't you want to do that? What do you want to do? And I think I was about 5 or 6 years old, and I said, I just want to help people. I just want to help people. Which completely floored him, because that's not the answer he was hoping for, he expected from a 5 or 6 year old human. It was like, oh yeah, great, give me the ray gun and I'll go out and do this and do that. And he said to me, you could lead armies, and where we have failed, you will be successful. Now, looking back on it, I know those were contracts and I didn't want anything to do with it, because it frightened me to death. I never showed it, because I was related to him, therefore he was a family member, but I didn't like him. So I always smile at conferences when people come up to me and they say, listen, I really wish I could meet these aliens, and, you know, can you arrange it for me? And they're very earnest and they very mean it. And I look at them and I say, you do not know what you're asking. You haven't a clue how your life would change if it genuinely did. How would you be in the presence of a 9, 10, 11, 12 foot plus creature that could literally rip your head off if it chose to? And so they thought, oh, well, I wasn't sure about that. So that's my answer. Now, listen, I would normally say thank you to everybody. We've been so busy with the submarine business and President Trump's talk that I haven't been able to get on my thank you lists. So I'm very sorry. I'll get that done for next week, on the next podcast, and I will thank everyone because you've been very kind and very generous. So I'm going to just wrap it up now. We've done the hour. Thank you ever so much. You know, it's really important to me that you keep looking for the truth. So thanks very much again. Bye-bye now. Bye.